Good morning. Welcome to our service here in Deravolgi this morning, and welcome also to those who join us online. This morning is the last Sunday before Advent. Who would have believed that before Advent has even begun, that we would have had sermons on so many of the people involved, and that there's so many more still to come. The story reminds us that each of us has a place in the passing on of the story of Christ to the future generations. Maybe you have discovered your part, or maybe you're still to discover your part and your position in the story that is to come. Listen on, because it'll be revealed over these next few weeks.
The reading today is from Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Thank you, David. So we continue this series, as Frank has alluded, the characters around the cradle. The idea being that we begin early thinking about these characters in the very familiar passages that we hear and do hear in the run-up to Christmas, especially in the period around Christmastide. Now we have carol services and Christmas Day and Christmas Eve communions and all of those things. Whenever these passages are read, they're very familiar to us who've been about church for any length of time. And so this year we want to kind of look at some of these characters a little bit more closely so that we can begin to distill and hear and see what they're about. So we've looked at Zechariah. We've looked at the fact that it said that his prayers had been heard. The old man, whenever he realized what had happened, changed. Do you remember he was struck dumb? And then after John the Baptist is born and he declares that his name is John, he's able to speak again. But he changed. It seems to have changed in those moments. Fear no longer holds him. He recognizes how blessed he is. And his voice that he now has back again is much stronger, greater, and more God-honoring than it was before. God's story unfolds in the most beautiful of ways. And we looked at Mary. We noted that one of the things about Mary is that the way she's often described in the scriptures is that she was thoughtful. She pondered, she treasured, she thought about these things. She allowed the words to dwell richly in her heart. She overcame the anxiety and the fear of not being able to be used because she trusted the one for whom nothing is impossible. Last week we looked at Joseph. We saw that maybe that wasn't the dream that he had. He had this dream of meeting someone he might love, of marrying them, of settling down, of having a career and a trade, of staying with his friends and his family. And all of a sudden, he's pushed out of that dream a little bit, out of his comfort zone, and he's traveling to Egypt. He's on his way to Bethlehem. He's staying in Egypt for a number of years to keep safe the child that was now in his care, because he knew that God's plans for him were better than his own plans. And so he stepped into them, knowing that what God has for us is always much better than we can dream of for ourselves. So if we think about the shepherds today, let's pray together. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for these familiar characters, but most of all, we thank you for your word, life-giving word, a word that is alive and well, and by your Holy Spirit, it has the ability to speak into our hearts and minds, into the depths of our very souls today. So may it be your words and not mine that carries into those places. In Jesus' name, amen. The good thing to remember about all of this is we're talking about different characters, and all along we've talked about these characters carrying their own little jigsaw piece. Their jigsaw piece helps to build the bigger picture. They might only see that their piece looks like a piece of green with, and there's no other context around it, but whenever it's pieced into all the other pieces, the picture begins to become clear. And we have to remember that we carry a jigsaw piece of God's big picture. And sometimes we focus on our little piece, not understanding how well it fits into all the other pieces to make the big story and the big picture. And so we come participating with our story, unique and individual, but one that joins with others to make the big story. So how do the shepherds fit into that then? Well, shepherds, let's take a wee step back first of all. Since the angel appeared to Zechariah, Mary and Joseph have... Since the angel appeared to Zechariah, there have been no words from heaven. The angels came to Mary and Joseph, but after that, there has been nothing else recorded or said. That angel appeared to other people. And so there's kind of this moment where the angel appears to Zechariah, tell him he's going to be the father in his old age of the forerunner to the Messiah. Then the angels appear to Mary and to Joseph, and they tell them that Mary is going to carry the Christ child. And then there's this period of silence for the rest of Mary's pregnancy. You'd almost imagine that those wee words, those communications, those moments of confirmation should continue for the months after that. But there seems to be this moment of silence. Yet many things have been quite difficult for Mary and Joseph. They probably came across hostility in their community because Mary was pregnant. They had the long and arduous journey of traveling to Bethlehem. Whenever they got there, there was no room at the inn. It's a little phrase we kind of coin and talk about at Christmas. There's no room at the inn. And so they finally found a place in the stable. Probably not what they had imagined for the birth of the Messiah after the angel had appeared to them. It's not what we would have imagined the Messiah should have come in. And it's certainly not what the nation of Israel were expecting the Messiah to appear. They were expecting a king. They were expecting royalty. They were expecting someone who was going to overthrow the Romans. They were expecting a fanfare. They were expecting all of that. But yet, none of it happened. Israel's long-awaited king was supposed to save Israel, was supposed to ride a white horse and defeat the Romans, but he turned up in a cradle, in a manger, in a stable. So for the shepherds to arrive in that moment, for the shepherds to then suddenly appear to Mary and Joseph and to Jesus in this stable, must have been a real kind of moment of collaboration for and confirmation for Mary that she knew all of this was right. It must have made that moment even more magical or magnificent than it already was. Because all of a sudden, here are these people who they didn't know, who they weren't expecting, who were completely independent from them, turn up and say, "We're here to see the Messiah." certainly in that culture and in even in today's culture, when a child is born, there are lots of family and friends want to flog around and have a look at the baby. They want to support the people, the mother, the father. They want to be there for them. They want to cuddle. They want to hold. They want to wake up the child that is sleeping. It took 4 hours to get the child to sleep, and then somebody comes and pokes it and wakes it up. Mary and Joseph didn't have any of those friends and family around them. They had traveled the arduous journey to Bethlehem. They were on their own in a dirty, rotten stable. And God provides them with people around them who can celebrate a birth. The shepherds. This is God bringing the different pieces of the jigsaw together to create a bigger picture. This is God moving things around, moving people around so that the jigsaw pieces that they carry begin to slip together to start making the bigger picture. Now, once upon a time, shepherds were kind of held in high esteem. Just think about Psalm 23, the Lord's my shepherd. Think about David, the shepherd boy, the one who became the king. In those instances, we don't think of shepherds as the people who are ostracized, the people who are set out, the people who other people don't want to be a part of. We imagine the shepherds being the people that have a real strong part to play. But in recent times, not today, but in recent times, whenever Jesus was born from those times of David, something had shifted in how shepherds were viewed and looked upon. They'd become poor and despised. And that contempt came in two levels. The first one was economic, because the shepherds were exceptionally poor. So they didn't fit in to the rest of the nation of Israel, the rest of society, and how they should fit in, because they were poor. And so they were outside of the city walls looking after sheep, because that's all that they could possibly do. And the despising and the contempt was also religious, because shepherds could not keep themselves ceremonially clean because of the work that they'd done. So they couldn't enter the temple. They couldn't be a part of those rituals and services and festivals that the rest of the nation of Israel were a part of, because they were seen as ceremonially unclean. And so they were despised, ostracized, set to the side. But God chooses the lowly and the despised to herald the birth of his son. He himself became lowly and despised. In the next couple of weeks, we're going to look at Simeon and Anna, the world, the despised things and the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one can boast before him. It's because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is, or righteousness, or holiness, or redemption. Therefore, it is as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. God often uses the lowly and the humble in their obedience, because they do not boast in themselves. All of the boasting then comes in the Lord. The angel appears in this passage to the shepherds. And look at chapter 2 and verse 8. And the shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night, an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. There's that do not be afraid thing again. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. The angel appears to the shepherds. A light appears in the sky, and an angel lights up the darkness of the night. As the shepherds tended their sheep, keeping them safe, set apart from the rest of the nation the rest of their people, and the angel appears, and the sky begins to light up. But there is more to come. It's not just the angel who appears to the shepherds in that moment. It's not just the angel who appears to the lowly and the despised, the ones who have been set out. Yes, that's absolutely amazing and magnificent and all of that, but there is still more to come because there is always more with God. Verse 13, suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to all people on whom his favor rests." Just think of that song that we sung, "Light of the World." He stepped into the darkness. The light is dispelling the darkness because the Messiah has now arrived. This heavenly host lights up. The first angel kind of brings light to the moment, but the heavenly host light up the sky. It's like that moment whenever you're sitting in your house and maybe you're scrolling on your phone and you see that everybody else in Lisburn can see the northern lights and you go out into your back garden and you go, I can't see them. It's that majestic moment where the sky absolutely lit up and where they just went, wow. And that last line, "This is be a sign to you, you'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying into a manger." They didn't hang about. Doesn't say the shepherds waited to daylight. Doesn't say the shepherds thought about it for a wee while. Doesn't say the shepherds considered that what the heck's going on. No. It says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that happened, which the Lord has told us about." The word for go is actually hurried in the original. So the shepherds didn't go, they hurried to Bethlehem. There's a sense of urgency for them that they want to see this magnificent moment that has just happened. Because God always comes through. He never, ever lets us down. And what's Mary's reaction to all of this? Remember the time we looked at Mary, we said that her most common description is that she is thoughtful. What's Mary's description? Luke chapter 2 and verse 19. Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. There she is, pondering again. She's allowing what's happening to dwell. She's not missing the moment. And we can so easily do that in our culture, can we? We're rushing to the next thing. We're looking, there's a beautiful, I forgot to put it into the slideshow. There's a beautiful image of one of the last times that Queen Elizabeth was coming down the Royal Mall, is that what it's called? Outside Buckingham Palace, in one of the processions. Everybody, thousands of people are lined it, and they're all standing there with their cameras and their mobile phones and their iPads and all of those new technologies to capture the moment of the Queen passing by. And there's this lady in her mid-80s with her elbows on the crash barrier, standing there going, just enjoying the moment. And all those other people will take the photographs back to their friends and their family, and they'll say, "Look, I bet you she goes back to her friends and family and says, 'Come here, where did I tell you about the day that I saw the Queen?'" And she begins to describe in intricate detail all the environment around her because she soaked in the moment. That's exactly what Mary does in these moments. She soaks them in. I wonder, when was the last time you soaked in a moment from God? Preachers included in that question. When was the last time we actually stopped, sat down, pondered, treasured, lingered, dwelt in his presence? Because even at the most basic of levels, the birth of a child comes with a fantastic fanfare. We've already kind of noted that. Friends and family will declare it, especially in the age of social media. Everybody's saying, "Look, look, look, I've become a granny, a granddad, I've become a mum or a dad, I've become a brother or a sister." I In one sense, Mary and Joseph had none of that. Their friends and their family weren't necessarily around them. They couldn't do the fanfare thing to everybody else, but God provided it for them. God provided them in the shepherds to come and to be that fanfare. And with anything miraculous or eventful, there are two streams that always happen within it. Look through the pages of the scriptures. There's always two things going on whenever God does something amazing or miraculous. And the first thing is this. It's what God does and what he says. And that's often what we focus on. We focus on the moment where God does or he says something. We say, it's miraculous, amazing. But the second stream is always this. What did they do about it? The lacking part is never found in what God says or does. But the lacking part can be found in what the individual's response is. So it'll be you and me. Whenever God is doing something amongst us, it's not lacking in what he is doing. But is it lacking in how we respond to it? So these shepherds, what can we learn from them as we come into a close today? First thing I think is this, that God speaks simply to his people. Often we complicate what it is that God says. We try to fit it into our human comprehension, into our human frameworks, into the plans that we have. And we complicate it because it doesn't quite work sometimes in those places. But God speaks simply to his people. He appears to the shepherds and he tells them the Messiah is born, and they hurry off to see the Messiah. God doesn't always speak. The second thing is God doesn't always speak like this every day. He doesn't give us the fanfare of the angels. But often in the everyday humdrum, his voice is found. And the last thing is, whenever God speaks, we need to act. We cannot remain passive. Shepherds recognized and rejoiced knowing that they had a part now to play in God's big story. That they would see the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the long-awaited Messiah. That they would get to meet Jesus. Have you met Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Are you hurrying off to meet him and to dwell in his presence? We know the story is that the incarnation of the child being born in a stable, but that was not the purpose. The purpose was that he would die on a cross at Calvary so that you and I would know him, truly know him. Hurry off to meet with him, to dwell in his presence. And if you have never done that, I encourage you to do it today. Because this story that we're sharing over these weeks is a story that changed the world forever. The shepherds rejoiced in knowing that they had a part to play in God's big story. That story that changes the world forever. So what about you and I? Are you ready? Are we ready to play our small part in God's big story? To obediently hurry off and see what he has for us. Because it's a story that can and will change the world forever. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you know us. And that you love us, and in turn help us to know and to love you. We thank you that you don't complicate the things, but you keep them simple. So give us that act of obedience to hurry off and to dwell in your presence and to see what you would have for us. So we can carry our piece of a jigsaw, and you might fit it with all the other pieces to show the picture of your story in this place. In Jesus' name. Amen. let's conclude today by hearing some words from the book of Ephesians. May the God of glory, who gives us all that we need, the one who gives us immeasurably more than all we can ask, seek, or even dare to imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen.